Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So what's so awesome about MSU Denver Online is they put a absolutely dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life, because any type of student can take classes at MSU Denver Online. If you are a freshman who's just going to college for the first time, MSU Denver Online is an awesome choice. If you have already done some college credits and are going back to school trying to finish up your degree, you can take classes with MSU Denver Online, work toward your degree, and then work a job on the side. It's a super flexible curriculum. So no matter what type of student you are, no matter where you are in your college education, MSU Denver Online has awesome classes, and they also have great teachers to help you get your degree. You can check out their entire course list online, msudenver.edu/online. Hey, maybe this fall, maybe in the spring, maybe in the summer, you'll be taking some online classes with them.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Losers Lounge. The Nuggets find themselves in familiar position, down 3-1. They drop a game that I don't know if you could say they gave this one away. I would more say that it just took a little bit more. They were capable of winning the game tonight, and they just didn't get it done on a bunch of different fronts. Offensive rebounding, Jokic is performing, you know, I don't know that the officials. I see some people on Twitter talking about the officials. I'm going to go out and get in front of this. I didn't think the officials decided this game. There were calls that I thought were tight, tough. I wish Malone would have challenged the one with Anthony Davis, but I didn't think it was like an egregious game or anything like that. But the Nuggets do just come up just a little bit short, and now back in the 3-1.
We back, baby.
Back like our old friend. I'm Adam Matas. I'm joined by Brendan Vogt.
Hello, darkness, our old friend.
Man. I remember this feeling a lot. Very familiar with
like
it.
Seemed like just 2 weeks ago.
That, yeah. Also, D-Lanco, you know him as D-Lanco?
You know, man, we've had, like, except for that first game, we've been able, every game has been within reach.
Yeah.
This one just felt like it was just behind cellophane, like just one reach too far.
Like, and it did feel like the Nugs, every time they caught up, you know, they tripped over something or shot themselves in the foot. It was like, man, protect the ball on that possession, particularly that one, you know? And so just, you're right, man.
Supreme
just
frustration.
Just pass your fingers.
Supreme frustration.
There are games, there's lots of different types of frustrations you can have as a sports fan. And this one, I think, maybe doesn't feel the most immediate pain of like a game winner, this or that, or a game where you felt like you played well enough to win and didn't or whatever. This was one where this was just an opportunity. The best version of the Nuggets wins this game.
Yeah.
You know, the best version of the Nuggets, best version of the Lakers, I think most people would say the Lakers are better at this point. But what the Lakers did tonight versus what the opportunity the Nuggets had, they just a little bit more. So I'll go to the big picture first, as I always do, guys. And I'll start over here. Can you gather enough perspective to give me your biggest takeaway thus far?
From this game specifically?
Yeah.
man.
And life, just, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean,
when
you say so, thus far.
Thus far in life.
I thought you maybe meant the series. All right, so this game specifically, I think that I am left with the idea that we just needed a little more Jokic. Like, to me, it seemed like he was maybe not feeling well or something. He just didn't quite have that.
He didn't have it tonight.
He
was good.
He was good. He just wasn't quite what we needed, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. What about you, Brendan?
Rebounding is a massive stat in this series.
Yeah.
I think something when analyzing basketball, we like almost forget to look at. Like, it's so obvious everyone's got a rebound, whatever, but the Lakers are big, more athletic, and it showed tonight.
The athleticism is a big part of it, because I think that's a lot of the rebounding is they're quicker to the ball.
And I think, you know, look, there are some questionable calls in the fourth, but the biggest killers in the fourth were that the Nuggets stood and watched the biggest misses of the game, and particularly Paul Millsap on that one AD offensive rebound. Can't give you the exact scenario, but I just thought that this is a team that's so ready for everything, and they're so good in crunch time, and they were just sort of flat-footed and watching tonight at times.
You talked about Jokic and his fourth quarter. It was really baffling because we were sitting there talking. I said, you know, if Jokic can get into the fourth with only with two fouls, so he has four to give.
Yep.
He gets there with three fouls, so he has three to give, but he gives them immediately. I mean, it was right off the bat. He gets two in a row and has to go back to the bench. And if he had a great game prior to that and then there was that, it would feel different. It would be like, man, I don't know. But he just seemed I don't want to say disengaged. He just seemed flustered, like he wasn't reading the court. Yeah. Whatever it was that the Lakers have done.
He was just like off, like a couple percentage points.
A couple percentage points, yeah.
For Jokic is, you know, I mean, that's...
It's tough. I mean, that's...
We needed it. We just needed it.
Now I have the hiccups.
I'm reeling a little bit. Like, I was positive they were going to come back. Like, just the Nuggets have made me feel like there's just that never-say-die attitude that it's always going to work out, and it just didn't quite... And, you know, we're not talking, like... The lead up to this game was all about the referees, like the Lakers crying to the referees. So we don't want to talk about it. But
right, because that's just so annoying.
It is so annoying. But man, that was gross. Like, there was points in that. It was like, what is this? What is this?
I just don't want to go there.
No, I get it because it's like so unbecoming to watch a fan base like
complain about referees. The most annoying thing.
I know, and we want to rise above it, but it was gross, man.
Yeah. And in games two and three, like the whistle was like, Denver had all the help they needed. You don't really want to harp on that. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the better perspective is, I think, despite those calls, you're still looking at controllable factors like offensive rebounding and crunch time execution, where we're used to seeing this team thrive. I think a lot of it was that they couldn't really turn to Jokic tonight with confidence.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Jamal Murray, another big takeaway from this was just that Jamal Murray, I mean, this goes right back up there with some of his best games that he's played. At least if you just look at the tough shot making that he had in this game, he had four or five of the toughest shots that he's ever made, and he just kept doing it. He played with an enormous amount of confidence, a sense of urgency.
Yep.
And this is, again, we don't want to pin everything on Jokic, but heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yeah, sure.
And that's exactly what it is for Jokic. Like, Jamal Murray had an intensity, a seriousness, a confidence of all that stuff to him tonight, including going at LeBron James in key moments throughout the game. And Jokic just, you know, just didn't have it. He has the post up against Markieff. You know, he had opportunities to kind of step up and just didn't. The Nuggets aren't out of it. Another big takeaway. You know, I'm curious what my takeaways will be tomorrow and the day after, because right now, like, all the negatives,
it's so visceral right now.
Because one of my honest and sincere takeaways from this game is just that this Nuggets team is so – I'm so proud of them. I know – proud is – I got to find a better word, because proud feels so weird to say about, like, grown adults, you know, like a basketball team. But I am. Like, I'm so proud at how hard they fight. Like, everybody's counted them out for a long time. We're still counting them out. I mean, they're down 3-1, and we're like, come on, nobody can do this three times in a row. Well, maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later. But even in this game, it just felt like they kept getting down by 10 points, kept getting down. And every time you think they're ready to break, and they just bounce back, and like, they just were in it. So that's a big part of it to me, is this team's resiliency. It's not a talking point. It's not a statistical anomaly that is going to bounce back at some point. This is just who they are. They're tough as hell.
It is really impressive. Like, one thing that, like, if just to know what kind of night Jokic was having, like, the Lakers were doubling Jamal really hard all night, and not so much Jokic. Like, they keyed in on Jamal as like the one guy that they weren't going to let beat them.
It's also, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Eric, but it was also the energy out of Yoke, right? Like, it just the way he looked. It wasn't just, okay, he missed shots. It was, he didn't really look like he wanted it tonight. No. And I don't mean wanted the game. I'm saying he didn't really want the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't look like he wanted the moment. Like, he wasn't feeling it tonight.
No, no. And, like, remember there was that one transition where he, like, sprinted up from one side of the court to the other, and we all stood up like, oh, baby, here it comes. Here it comes. And then he got his fifth foul and then just, like, sat down, and it was like, I mean, it's tough. Again, we're in grumpy visceral mode right now. I mean, Jokic is a god. He's, like, he still had a great game. We're just at that point where we just need the most out of every player out of the court, and especially our main man. So,
yeah.
I will be honest. That was the last thing I saw coming. Was for them to be sort of put this game together to be close, and for Yoke to not really be there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill him for it. Like, more than earned the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, I mean, there's really no other way to cut it. I mean, their best player was not close enough to being the best guy on the floor tonight.
Another takeaway I have from this one, and it's really now coming down to this whole series. You know, Denver is one game away from being the furthest they've ever been. And you could make an argument for this being the best team that the Nuggets have ever put on a court together. In large part, it's weird. You have all these little battles, right? These little moral victories that you want to get to. And one of them for me is, can you get to Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals and tie the furthest you've ever been and this, you know, build off of that? But one of them is this. I don't watch this series and feel like the Lakers are meaningfully better.
No.
I feel like I watched the series and really we talk about game one. We thought it was a completely ludicrous second quarter and it affected it. Games 2, 3 and now 4. You watch that game and you go, ball's got to bounce a couple different ways. I mean, KCP was fantastic tonight. He knocked down all his shots. Michael Porter had all those wide open looks early in this game. Didn't knock down any of them. You just go back and forth and you go, okay, one or two bounces differently and the Nuggets win. You could say the same thing for game two. You could say the same thing the other way for game three. All of these games have just come down on a razor's edge, and I look at that and I go, this Nuggets team is really good. I mean, we were high on them. We were high on their on what they were going to be, and it's disappointing that it doesn't. So far it looks like they're not putting it together in the series, but I walk away from this just going, this team is talented, man. This team is special. There's something about them that's special.
It's more than talent. Like, this team has grit. This team has determination. This team has soul. This team has life. Like, it is. It's disgusting to watch it be put up against a team that was essentially dropped together, microwaved, no culture, put to, like, just Frankensteined and glued together, and have that somehow work. Like, it's just so demoralizing.
Well, that somehow work. We all knew it was going on. Nobody saw that team assemble over the summer. Was like this LeBron is this ain't going to work.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I know. Somehow is the wrong word, but just like to watch it actually work is like so.
I mean, it doesn't. Like, this could be over in five, and it just wouldn't feel like a five game series.
Right,
it doesn't
happen sometimes. It happens sometimes. Yeah.
A lot of teams will feel that way. You do hope the Nuggets get at least one more, just for that. It's like, man. Game two, they were right there. Like, they're playing better than to be gentlemen swept here. So we'll see.
This game, like many of the games in the series, feels so much like the Nuggets that are like halfway in, halfway out. What I mean by that is Michael Porter, this team so desperately needs him to be a piece and a component of this team, and he's just not quite ready. Tonight, more than any other night, I felt like LeBron really keyed in on finding him and just going right at him. And look, he only ends up a minus one. He has 13 points, 8 rebounds. You look at that and go, okay, it wasn't as bad as some of the guys that you see in this, you know, in out here. But I don't know. Then you have Paul Millsap, who in moments looks like, okay, he still has it defensively. He makes things hard on Anthony Davis. Even though Anthony Davis started off on fire, after that first initial flurry, Anthony Davis just looked like a good, you know, player. But he also just doesn't quite have it, you know, in any other aspect. So it's a little bit tough, I think, in that regard. Gary Harris tonight, you know, the Nuggets closed with Monte Morris on the court, and I thought that was the right call. Monte Morris looked like he was – when he had the ball for an open shot, I felt like it had a chance.
Yeah.
When Gary Harris has the ball for an open shot, I feel like he's going to pump fake into a floater.
I mean, like, and Gary, who hasn't closed at least once in this series, or more than once, actually, and we haven't really talked about it much, he's been really ineffective.
Yeah.
Part of it is just like – most of his impact is, man, he's shutting that guy down. Well, we're not really talking about that with, like, Alex Caruso.
Right, yeah.
It's one thing for him to catch and shoot. Every time Gary puts the ball on the floor, it feels like an adventure, man. It just feels like he doesn't know what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, Montes looked great though. Defensively, he was rough, but second straight game offensively, he was who they needed.
Yeah. Jeremy Grant continues to make some shots. He goes 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. He has 17 points.
What? Jeremy Grant, man.
He's good.
Where did he come from? Like he wasn't this good all season.
A lot of in between scoring. You know, like he's always either at the rim or shooting threes.
He's incredible.
Yeah, some really impressive shot making tonight.
Do you think at all that the Nuggets are wearing down? And we talk about wearing down. You know, bigs tend to wear down too. I mean, Jokic has been good as recently as last game. So I'm just kind of throwing this out there, seeing if it sticks. But you know, at some point, playing deep into the 7-game series over and over and over again will catch up to you.
I mean, no, these guys are in their early 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, no, like maybe Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
He definitely looks like he's worn down. But
Millsap only took 3 shots tonight.
Yeah. No,
he have 3 turnovers though on plays that were probably going to be shots if he could have got a shot off.
Absolutely.
What else? What else are we seeing out there, guys? Like, what else are you thinking about with this game?
What else do you take from this game? It was just sort of like, felt like we were going to get it. We just didn't. This whole time, they were just right there.
The Mason Plumlee minutes aren't going to work, especially like it's one thing to go big against this very big Lakers team, but he went big when the Lakers, I think, had Markieff Morris.
That's the thing it was where, because people got mad at me when I said that I think Denver's best bet in this series involves Plumlee on the court. Because, guys, there's one thing Mason Plumlee does at a high level, and that's rebound, right? He can rebound. The Nuggets were murdered on the – I mean, if you talk about why the Nuggets lost this game, reason number 1, 2, and 3 was the rebounding.
Oh, my
the
gosh.
Offensive rebounding and second-chance points that the Lakers got. So, but I'm with you. Like, the lineup I love that I think works in this one, but you have to be smart about when you play it, is with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter at the 2. Why not? He's guarding Alex Caruso. Doesn't matter. Then you go with Jeremy Grant at the 3 so he can guard LeBron. You go with Mason Plumlee at the 4 and LeBron at the 5. You have to use that, in my opinion, to combat the Lakers' go-to lineup, which is going to have LeBron, Dwight Howard, and Anthony Davis on the court. And that's the one where they just eat up the rebounds. And but you're right. That lineup saw the court tonight. I think it was a positive. I'll have to go back and look. But it was against a lineup that it had less of a matchup for.
And, like, yeah, I mean, I get Millsap was in foul trouble, but I almost feel like play Millsap through that, you know? And then you go to MPJ Grant if you have to. But easy to say in hindsight. I mean, Malone's job is not easy, man.
Torrey Craig tonight stands out in the box score. 3 of 6 from the from the field. He did hit a 3-pointer that was pretty big. He was a minus 17 in 19 minutes. And it's funny because in the previous couple of games, he hasn't played all that much. And he was a minus there, but you thought, like, okay, this is Malone moving away from Torrey. Yeah. And it goes back tonight. Now, I can't tell you off just of watching this. Like, sometimes plus minus can be very misleading, but minus 17. No other Nugget was at near. The next closest one was Jamal at minus 8. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
So, but at being more than double the any other Nuggets player to minus really sticks out. I mean, at least in the box score.
He got put in a bad position because Paul took 3 fouls in the first.
You're right about that.
So that he had to D-upped LeBron for large swaths of this game where he wouldn't put him up in that position. So, tough night, man. Tough night.
I remember thinking this last year when I was watching Jamal Murray get singled out in, defensively. Remember they kept attacking him that Spurs series and even in the Portland series. And I thought, you know, I hope that Jamal Murray really takes this to heart. Mm-hmm. I hope that this for him, like sometimes you need a little bit level of embarrassment. You need a level of like, just humility. Like you get humbled and you either look in the mirror or you deny it and it becomes a mental block. And Jamal Murray, I think, has turned himself into a fantastic defender. He had some great defensive plays tonight against LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like you talk about 1 year ago, if I would have told you.
Oh, no doubt.
Jamal Murray's going to guard LeBron in a playoff and it's going to be like you feel better about that than you do with most other people. Oh, we got to create our hockey tournament.
I think you said it.
That's what that was for.
I think you said it last pod, but he is literally making it harder for LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard than Derek White just a year ago.
Yeah, he sure did.
Golf tournament.
Adam meant golf tournament.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do we start doing hockey tournaments?
In fact, RK, you might want to get the details together on it. If you can see, I'm being dead serious. Hit up AJ and Rudo in the group chat. Yeah. Let's figure out. We got to get that going.
Just so everyone understands.
We have a major. WGT's first major. No, it's supposed to be live right now. That's what my alarm was.
The major event. The difference is that there are prizes involved.
There are. So actually, I guess we can go. Can we go to ad reads here in a second? But I'm going to go ahead and do that WGT one. Guys, we've been talking to you about WGT Golf. It's the game you download onto your phone, and you can play with us. You join the once you download, it's completely free to download the game. You go to dnvrgolf.com. That's right. That's correct, right?
I'm yes,
dnvrgolf.com. Yeah, you go dnvrgolf.com, and then you can download WGT on your phone, play it. It's very realistic. But this weekend, you play in our tournament. You join the DNVR 3 Golf Club. You play in our tournament, and you could win $200. First prize is $200 if you win the tournament. Second prize is $100. Third prize is a hat,
mask
shirt, and
combo.
Shirt.
Not
wow.
too far off $100 value anyway.
A pandemic special.
And we made this this one closest to the pin because that's the most egalitarian version of a tournament. Maybe putting's not your thing. You can hit. You just gotta hit one good shot 9 times in a row.
So play. So Eric, how much does it cost?
9 times.
How much does it cost to enter this tournament?
$10,000.
No, it's free actually.
Oh, it's free! Yeah. Holy crap!
Good guess,
this is
though,
crazy.
Ron, but I'd be surprised.
So you mean you could just play a game for free and maybe win $200? That's wild.
That doesn't seem right.
All right, was it WGT one of our?
No, it's the mid roll. So Lindsay, if you're listening, the mid roll just happened.
Yeah.
let's do. Let's talk about Breckenridge Brewery though, the official beer and brewery of DNVR Sports.
Yes. Too depressed to drink, but yes.
Yes.
No one. Yes. Who's too depressed to drink? That's why you drink.
Oh, that's right.
So Breck has, I mean, myriad great beers, so many different kinds. But if you heard of the Avalanche Amber Ale, you probably have. Classic beer. Been around Colorado for a while now. If you don't know where to get it, Google
the
Breck beer locator.
Look at the homie.
Punch in Avalanche
Amber
Ale.
The Breck brew locator just said it. Kale. It's like right there.
The internet.
Bring it.
We'll tell you where the nearest one is. Like, for example, in your face.
Just to let you know that's what happens every time you use the Breck Brew Locator is they just show up.
Or you could just make it easy for yourself. Come on down to the DNVR bar on Colfax because we got all that Breck good on tap.
This is a good one, man. Then you just swap. Do whatever the other two are on the next break, okay? We just did WGT.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Moving along in the show.
What are you guys going to talk about?
Go
ahead.
King of the game. Oh, yeah, the DraftKings Sportsbook King of the Game. 32 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists.
You know my favorite part about this is that the crown on Jamal's head gets bigger and smaller each time he wins King of the Game. Like, sometimes it covers his full afro, but then other times it just it's perched on top like King Hippo from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
That's a great reference there. King Hippo. Underrated game, even though it's so simple.
It's the greatest game of all time.
It's
the greatest game of all time. I love the characters, and if you look back, it's pretty racist.
Yeah, it's actually very offensive. Very offensive game, actually.
Those were the loudest 32 points. Like, not that long ago, Jamal had a kind of quiet 40-piece, which sounds ridiculous. But, man, he was their only hope at times tonight.
You know who was a killer tonight? Anthony Davis was on fire to start this game. I felt like after that he played like a regular star. LeBron James, I thought was, dude. I mean, he was good, but like, I mean, we talk about LeBron maybe not having. He's definitely not the LeBron we've known for so long.
This was to be the LeBron game for the ages, as it was reported by a lot of people. This was going to be the big.
Oh,
LeBron,
the put away, yeah.
The big LeBron. Dude,
let's not lie. He was good. 26-9-8.
I know, but he, dude,
yeah.
he's not LeBron anymore. He's not LeBron anymore.
I mean. He's still, I mean.
No, he's still good. But what he did,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you, though. No, it's different.
You're right,
it's different.
Look, you're 100% right. Yeah. 100% right. But he just has to be, like, he's so smart, man. I mean, tonight was the first time I really saw him mismatch hunt the way I thought.
Yeah. He went after MPJ
a lot.
Oh,
no doubt.
That's the point I was getting to. Actually, that's the point I was getting to. So, Jamal, you know, like, last year he had to take all that, and he's turned into a completely different player. Now, Michael Porter Jr. is behind the curve. This is why him being 20, is he 21 or 22?
22.
Like, 22 years old. Like, he's older, a little bit older than you think because he had those injuries or whatever. But this is where, you know, he called out his teammates in a way that we all kind of, like, raised our eyebrows for, but then the team responded. Yeah. He thought, okay, maybe it wasn't so bad. The one thing about him, he's so talented. His improvements before they come on the offensive end, before he gets worked in, are just, can you not be – hunted every time you're on the court, because a team can only be as good. Like, if there's nowhere to hunt, then you get to play. You just get to play basketball. But if you're constantly having to make up for him, so I think he's a fantastic player. I think this experience is great for him. Oh, I hope that the leadership on this team, that includes both Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, are on him in a way that's positive and, you know, getting him to where he needs to be. But I hope he looks in the mirror this summer and just says, or I guess it's winter. God, this is such the weirdest year. The worst year ever. I hope he looks in the mirror this fall/winter and just says, like, okay, I know I'm a bad MF-er with shooting the ball. And yeah. I know I can be a bad MF for scoring the ball and rebounding all this stuff, but I suck at defense and I need to get better
and
at it.
And I came here and thought of myself, rightfully so, as a piece this team needs to help them win a title. And I wasn't that my rookie season. So what work am I going to do? I mean, this is going to be harder to say one night after Tyler Hero dropped like 34 in the conference finals.
37,
at
I thought.
At 20,
yeah,
37.
Yeah.
But like rookies like are usually not counted on in these spots. So, longer leash for MPJ than this. But you want to be great, right? Well, this is the process. Go home and be honest with yourself.
I feel like he's going to go home, look in the mirror, and just like play with his hair. A little. Like get the curl just right on top.
The guy that has really been a thorn in the side and who I think is actually, if you know, once you get past the Anthony Davis, LeBron, Jokic, Murray, once you get past that, you start to talk about the others. And for Denver, Jeremy Grant, Monty Morris have been the two guys. You go to the other end of the court, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has hit some killer three-pointers, man. Some absolutely huge ones. And, I mean, he's a good shooter. I don't know if he's a great shooter, but, man, he's making the important ones.
Yeah, he really is.
It would be Rondo would be the other one. So for them, KCP and Rondo. I mean, Rondo.
I was going to say like Kuzma and Caruso have been.
They just
basically
have been regular
non-factors.
Guys.
But yes, Rondo has stepped up. He's become playoff Rondo.
KCP, man.
KCP, dude. Who the hell's KCP?
Better player than Lakers. Look, every fan base does this thing of like if you were watching for 82, you'd know. And I've learned because I watch the Lakers a lot, not all season. Apparently, KCP's been good for a while now, and this isn't a surprise to them. So just one of those things where I think the other fan base would expect that guy to tighten up, but like a Grant or like a Monte right now is probably better than we think.
Monte has been really impressive in this playoffs just with his shot making. I mean, 4 of 7 from the field, 4 of 5. He got to the free throw line more times than Jokic tonight, which is wild. I don't know. So this team, it's funny because we talk about – I think that the Nuggets look like they're can hang with the Lakers. They're odds very much against them right now for whether or not they can get over them, but it's always a false thing to say, but that means next year they're going to have an even better chance. You just never know that.
Not linear. Although for the Nuggets,
it's been pretty linear. Extremely linear, I would say.
But it is true.
Exactly.
It's actually been literally linear.
Once you won that game and you almost won game two, like you do kind of get past that, like, this is just house money thing to, if you do think LeBron doesn't have it, if you do think you're as good as this team, this is arguably the best chance you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
And these windows close closer than we think. I would be surprised, more surprised, if the Nuggets don't make it back to this spot than if they do. But in the NBA, that's just not how it works. It's not guaranteed.
I see the comment. KCP is the Caruso of Carusos. I like that. Ray, I see the comment there. I'm pretty optimistic on the team improving, too. It's just I think that everybody's going to improve a little bit, and that's the thing about it. Like, a lot of teams are going to come back stronger.
Right. And when you're this close to the title, it's like – you forget all that long play stuff. You know, this is your chance, and you want to win while you can.
Oh, the Golden Boys here. Look at this. The Peloton Prince.
Oh, I feel a wind blowing through.
Oh, my. That is a gust of wind. it is the fan.
Not
actually.
The fan
right.
Situation.
I thought it was Harrison.
Oh,
Harrison's the fan.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, Harrison, welcome to the show. So,
welcome, Harrison.
Yeah, I know you always say that you miss things, but don't trust me. You haven't missed too much. It's been a little bit
of
a downer.
We've just been moaning back and forth.
Yeah, we've just been kind of whining.
Kind of a downer.
Before you let us know what's going on, Harrison, let's just get your takeaways from this game.
Man, it's like so much went wrong for the Nuggets tonight. The foul calls, the whistle they got, the offensive rebounding, Anthony Davis just not missing in the first half.
He was on fire. So I want to stop you there on the foul call thing because, again, when I'm watching this game, to me it was a small factor, not a major one, but I got a lot of people DMing me from other writers from like different cities. And they're saying that Denver got hosed. So I guess
gross,
I'm gonna have to go back and watch because I didn't think that watching.
It was gross.
There was just some big calls.
So there are only two that I can think of. I thought LeBron fouled Murray on that one. They didn't show the replay for like 5 minutes, and then they showed it, and it was like, okay. And then the other one was the Anthony Davis ankle roll, which, again, so those two. But, again, to me, that's like –
I mean, there was, like, the LeBron – that one block that Jeremy Grant got called for. I mean, they've been calling that a block
on Grant
the whole
series.
Yeah,
that was early in the game. Okay.
I think it was just, like, the couple big calls that magnified it. And then, I mean, it's the whole storyline, too, that, you know, LeBron sent something into the league, and then this is what happens right after, and the Lakers shoot 35 free throws, and the Nuggets only make 20. So it's just kind of that as well. So all that, and then maybe Yoke's worst game of the playoffs, or his least impactful game of the playoffs, all of that happened. And I mean, you know, Denver still should have won this game probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably my biggest takeaway, that so much just went wrong, but these guys still play with the Lakers every step of the way. With 2 minutes left, they were still right in position to win, and they were just right there.
God,
they were just right there. I don't think there's any separation between these two teams.
I don't think so. Either.
If there is, it's so slight.
I don't know. The game is the game. Like, to me, there's, when you win, you can say that. If you go to seven, maybe you can say that. But right now, Nuggets down 3-1.
I would say we came into the series.
But if they lose in five, it's not like they weren't competitive in the series.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that there's being competitive in the series. There's winning the series. There's pushing it, this or that. Like, look, I just believe that a lot of – there's 15 teams in the NBA that are really good. You know, there's five that are great maybe, but there's teams that are really good and – They can be like this. What makes the teams better than the other ones is they end up getting that extra little bit. And tonight, I thought that's what happened with the Nuggets and with the Lakers.
Like, the Jazz are going to feel like they shouldn't have lost their series.
Right.
But I agree with you, Wynn. I mean, I think maybe for me personally, the better way of framing it would be, I thought it was a huge gap. And now it's like, oh, they're in the same tier even. Even one team's
right
better.
They're definitely in the same tier. I would say that. Yeah. I think they're in the same tier.
Definitely, man. The floor of this team on a bad Jokic night, I mean, obviously, like, Jamal Murray's a superstar now, but it's leaps and bounds higher than we ever could have imagined.
Oh my God, dude.
And so now you just have to wonder.
That's
look,
the number one takeaway from this whole playoffs, almost regardless of what happened.
Right, as far as like optimism going forward, that's the biggest thing. I just think Jokic had that game three in Utah. He just wasn't good, kind of quit, went home. I don't know what he did. Looked in the mirror, played video
game
games
three
or
against
what.
Utah, man.
But he came back and was first team All NBA.
Yeah.
So is he going to do that again? That'll be my question. That's what I'm watching. Jokic usually doesn't like this from himself, right? He usually responds, and they need him now. So,
yeah.
Oh, I talked so much shit online today.
You did.
Well,
you
I mean, really that's did. Part of your job. That's in your contract.
It's gonna be a rough one to check the old mentions.
Luckily, Lakers fans never see that stuff, and they're very reasonable.
All right, so Harrison, take us inside the locker room or to the Zoom call.
Yeah.
Take us into the office or across the hallway and into a Zoom.
So right off the bat, a lot of this post-game Zoom was about the rebounding. And like the Lakers had 12 offensive rebounds tonight. The Nuggets did a great job containing the glass in game three. But, I mean, it was Dwight in the first quarter. It was some huge offensive rebounds down the stretch.
Yeah.
So that's what Malone started off with. That was obviously, in his mind, and I think correctly, the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Was
he angry? I mean, was there a Malanger?
Yeah, where were we on the Malanger scale? Do we have the Malanger scale? Again, remember, apoplectic should actually be just – frustrated.
I'll say he was teetering between concerned and apoplectic.
Okay.
So he's concerned and frustrated. He was frustrated.
Okay.
He was frustrated. Frustrated.
All right. With what exactly?
The officiating, I believe.
Wow.
Because
you believe because he didn't say so?
Oh, he said so.
Okay.
He said so. Michael Malone, quote, "I think I'm going to have to go through the proper channels like they did to see if we can get some more free throws."
Well, yeah. I hate Hell this, yeah. I'll be honest. I just don't like it.
I don't either. It's what we've been reduced to.
I know. It is what we've been reduced to, you know.
We don't want this. But, like, what do you do? Like,
it is. It's like in politics when one side just starts swinging mud, and it's like, we're going to be above this. Like, well, if you're going to lose, then.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Like, yeah, Denver bitched and moaned after the whistle in game one, and it got better.
How gross.
Sucks that it works.
I know. That just tells you, like, the fallibility of the
NBA. And that's the thing. Like, I really, really wish no one reported what
Me
the
too.
Lakers did, because other teams do this.
Okay. Yeah, it was the dumbest thing that it leaked.
I told you guys, like, teams do this. Like, I don't know if the Nuggets
have. Damn near every game.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they have sent in clips to the league before. Teams do this. The difference is not everybody makes it public.
Right,
and
right,
the Lakers
right.
made it public, and they wanted to make it public.
Yeah, and I don't like that. Just being it's a bad look for the league, whether this is true or not,
right,
to have
right,
the
right.
optics of you're tugging us back and forth. You know,
you have your two stars come back and combine for 28 free throws, more than the whole Nuggets roster. And even if it was legitimate, those free throws, it just looks bad.
It's just a bad look now.
Just a bad look. All right, what else?
So, I mean, more on that. Malone said they're going to send in clips to the league. He also talked about a couple of Jamal Murray's drives where – you know, so, it seemed like he had contact, and, you know, that was one of the big ones.
Don't you wish we could just be talking about how fucking amazing Jamal Murray is?
We should. Man. I mean, honestly, we could spend a little bit more time on it.
But
because
this is like what we've been, again, what we've been reduced to.
He had two. I mean, his playoff highlight reel is insane.
Yeah, it is.
He has a great highlight reel. Would make his top five shots of the playoffs tonight, and that's saying something.
That dude is so tough, man. He's just so mentally tough. Yeah. I mean, he had the look in his face today. And this is part of what's so frustrating is we've talked about these two as a duo, man. Like, they have each other's back. Yes. And tonight I just didn't feel like Jokic had Murray's back. Yep. And Murray had that look in his eye of, like, I'm not going to let this team lose. And he tried his hardest.
Totally agree. Also, I'm just going to say it. That was an even cooler up and under than the MJ one. That was insane.
Oh, the level of difficulty on that compared to the MJ one, it's like apples to oranges.
Maple Jordan.
Yeah.
I can't believe LeBron is going to be proven not to be the best player because it's Jamal Murray.
Well, I don't think LeBron has been the best player on this team this series. I asked Mike Malone about the Paul Millsap foul when Anthony Davis hurt his ankle. It was interesting. He said they thought about challenging it.
Why didn't they?
They went to the monitor to review for a flagrant. So they had ample time to check, you know, whatever replay they're looking at on the bench. They had time to decide if they were going to challenge it, but he said they just ultimately didn't decide to.
Which is worse because then they used one on an even less likely overturn.
Save it. So it's funny because you need the analytics. You know how people talk about this, like, it's just tradition to punt on fourth down, but the analytics actually say you should go for it a lot more, but nobody ever will because it's like it's tradition. I think there's something to the challenge. If it involves points, like actual points going on the board or coming off the board, if it involves a player foul, if it involves these things, like, it doesn't matter if it's later or earlier in the game. There's nothing more valuable than saving points. And that was Anthony Davis to the free throw line. Now, he only hit one. But if you could look at that and say, hey, this is a point that I can – 2 points potentially I can guarantee they don't get – I don't care if it's the first quarter. That's like a super valuable thing.
It was also a huge momentum play, man.
It fits both. The analytic approach where you're just like, okay, this is points, take it off the board. And then the second one was the Nuggets were on a run, and Anthony Davis was kind of – Anthony Davis and LeBron both kind of not playing great. It was early. There was still time for them to turn around, and that's a momentum one. Oh, you rolled your ankle, unfortunate landing, but also it wasn't a foul, and it's Denver ball. That's massive.
But Malone has said in the past that he prefers to save those for like a sixth foul type deal. But then he didn't even use it when Jokic got that
suspect
fifth foul.
That just felt like such a big play in the moment.
It did.
It felt like a massive play.
There's feel to a lot of this, and he would never admit it, but I think that was a mistake on his part.
I also think you just got to make the refs watch that call back, even if they're not comfortable overturning it. Seriously, make them feel guilty a little bit.
Like, oh, you saw Anthony Davis collapse, right? That's what you saw. You didn't see a foul. You just saw a guy go down and grab his ankle.
For these next 4 minutes, the next time he falls.
Like, the refs just come back with a glazed look of deep existentialism, like, what have we become? Who are we?
This is
not why we got in the league. We got to make this
I'm
right.
I'm kind of serious about
but it. But the other thing.
Forced them to look.
The other decision that I think was tough, and again, Jokic didn't put him in good position on this, but, you know, he left Jokic on the bench for a long time five. And you talk about another analytics thing. If you don't play a guy, you save him because he has five, and then he never gets the six. You go like, well, you're the one that kept him out, not the fouls. It was so the decision. And I felt like there was a little bit of that tonight where it was like, man, I know he's got five, but let him foul out with 2 minutes to go rather than keep him out an extra 2 minutes and then let him play to the end.
Now, he wasn't really a difference maker in the end tonight, but I'm with you. Like, it was maybe a minute and a half too long at the least.
What else we got? Who else talked?
We were talking about Jamal Murray's night, and I think in – something we haven't really talked about with just his kind of recent stretch in the playoffs is just how many minutes he's playing. So Murray played 45 minutes tonight. He played 44 in game two. He played 44 in game one. In the Clippers series, he played 40 or more in 5 of 7 games.
No, that's not
and the craziest part is it doesn't look like he's getting tired out there.
Yeah, he does look great.
He's
man.
Playing every other day, going balls to the wall, playing 40 to 45 minutes a night. And still just, like, unbelievable on offense. And Mike Malone's been saying this these last couple of games, and Murray was also great defensively tonight, but he thinks this is the best stretch of defense Murray's played
in his entire career.
That's
so true.
He was incredible. He had a couple incredible defensive possessions tonight, too, and he's playing these unbelievable minutes, but doesn't seem to be affecting him. Malone said that, quote, "I'm running the poor kid into the ground, but when we take him out, things seem to go sideways in a hurry."
Yeah. Should we take another? Is there more? Do you have more quotes?
I've got a couple more. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear them.
This was an interesting quote from Michael Malone. I didn't actually hear this, but our guy TJ McBride tweeted this out. A couple other guys tweeted this out. Quote, if you can't help us on the defensive end, then maybe you shouldn't be on the floor.
Yeah, I wonder who he's talking about.
Me?
Yikes. Yeah.
Eric Weedham?
Mason Plumlee. Probably not.
I mean, it's Michael Porter. It's got to be Michael Porter.
Yeah.
Nikola was asked just kind of about Dwight, about the Lakers' physicality, and kind of about the rebounding. He said, I think we had a lot of cheap fouls when we did foul them. If you're going to make a foul, like, make a foul. He was quick to point that out. So, yeah, so a lot of talk about the officiating, offensive rebounding, of course. Yeah.
All right.
Down 3-1 again.
Down 3-1 again. Let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to try to put on our optimism caps.
Silver linings, baby.
Silver linings. We're going to try to look ahead. I mean, the series isn't over.
Not over.
If Denver's ever going to win a championship, it's going to be the hardest freaking way possible. So I guess that
already has
been.
There's only one way.
Only one way, but let's take a break first.
Week two of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three.
This DraftKings Sportsbook?
There is no place, there's no better place to get in all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of week three, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried, head to the App Store now, because this is literally a can't-miss deal. They're giving away, they're giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team. That's right. If you bet on any team and they win, you make $100. You could pass that up, but that would just be stupid.
It would be stupid.
Don't worry if football isn't for you. DraftKings is giving all you MMA fans the same great offer. You can use that for this weekend's UFC 253 even. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience.
Resilient.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week three, bet $1, win $100. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code DNVR for sign up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And then there's another one, isn't there? Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee.
This is you right here.
This is
Strava
my favorite
key.
Read. It's my favorite coffee. Head to Strava Craft Coffee now. Use code DNVR20. Use that when you sign up for their subscription service. You'll get 20% off every single order. You can choose whether that coffee comes to you every 2, 4, 6 to 8 weeks. Comes in K-cups, whole beans, ground. What is CBD-infused coffee? It's not going to get you high, no euphoria, but you might feel some alleviation of that anxiety, joint pain, IBS. It's the good stuff, man. Check out Strava Craft Coffee or come on down to the DNVR bar and get that cold brew on tap.
I got to go over this stat with you guys from Matt Moore. Shout out HP Basketball. Lakers and Nuggets are tied 325 to 325 since game one. The AD shot is quite literally the difference.
Ugh, killer.
Hey, I kind of wish you'd never told me that. But
yeah,
yeah,
I don't
stat.
Feel good. Yeah. I'm going to put together a GoFundMe, by the way. Everybody else wants to help out. I want to get an edible arrangement for Anthony Davis to make sure he's feeling all right. Took one to the chest, his ankle.
Yeah.
I get him the chocolate-covered pineapples. That makes everything
good. Amen. He was really good tonight. He was really good.
He was really good to start. Yeah, I mean, I felt like after that, you know, he was
regular.
Yeah,
and
good.
The craziest part, like, yeah, he couldn't miss in the first half. I was like, okay. Like, he was having to work pretty hard for those shots. Yeah. They're all twos.
Yeah.
Like, all right. It's not going to keep up.
Denver pretty much stayed connected all game. They kept falling down by 10, coming all the way back, They just couldn't find a way to sustain it. All right, let's look ahead. 3-1. Here's the first thing I'll say. There is a – oh, silver linings. Look at us here. Did you made my eyebrows silver? Just is that
how long did that graphic take you? 30 seconds.
Is that just us?
And now we're
silver,
and now we have silver outside.
Like, I made this graphic months ago. We've used it before. Your eyebrows are not. That's the monitor.
It's the monitor.
Yeah, that's
okay.
The monitor.
Well, it looked a little gray. I wouldn't have minded. I don't mind my grays. I'm proud of them. You know, I got a haircut today. You guys didn't say a damn thing.
Your hair never.
Your
looks
hair
any
looks
different.
The exact same.
It doesn't matter.
12 months a year.
You guys constant, kidding me? You know, I got a haircut. Look at this. Look how short it is. Yeah. You really don't notice.
I literally had no idea. You
guys
still don't know. Looking at you right now.
The people see it. It's an incredible haircut.
They do not.
Oh, yeah. People do.
Let us know in the comments. Do you see it?
For my haircut, please. All right, some silver linings here. So it's 3-1. Here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
One thing I'm going to say. I feel pretty confident this Nuggets team is not going to fold. I'd come back. I don't. I mean, look, I have picked against them every time they've been down 3-1. I'm not going to stop now.
We've
done
this
exact losers' lounge every round.
Yeah, that's true.
Every round of the playoffs, we're like, well, they had a good run,
and
but
the users go, "Don't write them off," and we go, "Yeah, we know it's not really."
And then it gets rubbed in our faces. Yeah. Listen, man, again. You win next game, everything changes. Everything in this playoffs is just one game at a time. It is just one game at a time.
Well, that's the thing is now it's one game at a time.
It's always one game at a time. The whole it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. Right now we're at the lowest. Although actually, I don't even think I'm at my lowest anymore.
No, this is definitely not the lowest. Are you kidding me? This is honestly the 10th lowest game of the playoffs for the Nuggets.
This is like a 10 compared to after game 4 of the Jazz.
We should have played the hockey music compared to where we've been before, to be honest with you.
I was looking up apartments in Portland. Dame does look pretty good.
I'd be shocked if the Nuggets laid down. Like, I know the odds are against them. I know all this. It's just that this team, for whatever reason, like, there's some people that quit. There are. Even at the top level. But I don't think the Nuggets
are. Vote quit tonight.
I'm a quitter for sure.
Yeah. Vote quit tonight on us.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's the right take. They've shown that. I mean, look, they've done more than enough where it really is silly to just say, oh, this series is over.
It's not silly. It's ridiculous. Like, you'll look ridiculous. They'll make you look ridiculous if anybody is just like, well, it's over. I mean, how many times we just can't keep doing this and not expect the Nuggets to keep doing what then they do.
So you think they're going to bounce all the way back?
Listen, I don't know if they're going to come all the way back. I'm not going to guarantee that. I never have one since this has started, but I would be very surprised if we don't get a very good game out of Nikola Jokic next game. I'd be very surprised if Jamal Murray doesn't show up next game. I would be very surprised if if we see any better games out of LeBron James from what we've gotten in the series so far. I think we've seen the peak of what he's able to produce. I really do. And it's not unbeatable. It's not at all unbeatable. Anthony Davis came out and, like you were talking about, was just hitting everything. And then Jamal was just matching him shot for shot. Yeah. In that first quarter. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like if this was just like a normal year.
It was a very game one first quarter.
Yeah, we would have been way down after that like onslaught of Anthony Davis unable to miss. But Jamal matched him. And so, I mean, what are we saying? That there's a 2-point difference this entire series?
Yeah, and I think another reason why the Nuggets are going to continue to have confidence is because when they look back at this game, when they go over the film from this game, they're going to see the offensive rebounding. And, I mean, that's self-inflicted. That stuff, it's not anything that...
I mean, Lakers, a little bit.
It's their strength.
Yeah, it is their strength.
It's still something you're going to feel like you can
clean up. Yeah, I mean, when Rajon Rondo gets the game-sealing rebound on the baseline, like...
Right.
What are you thinking when you look over the film from that?
That's a controllable.
So I think that's going to give them some confidence. Yes, it is a strength, but I think it is going to give them confidence. And also, I think they have a fine recipe. You know, on LeBron, they're packing the paint. They're collapsing on him. They're making LeBron beat them with a jumper he does not look comfortable with at all. That he doesn't seem like he wants to take. So I think they're confident in their game plan. They have the right game plan, in my opinion. They have the right game plan. I don't think they need to tweak a lot of stuff here.
I do think there's a tweak. I think there's one important tweak. I don't think this is a series for Torrey Craig. I just don't know what he brings to the table. He's not guarding anybody. He's not going to make shots. I mean, if he makes two, it's a miracle.
PJ?
Maybe PJ Dozier, or maybe you just try to roll with the other guys. I mean, this is so uncharacteristic of Malone. He would never do this, but I would replace his minutes with MPJ minutes. And if it goes south on you, I mean, look, Torrey Craig was a minus 17 tonight. I mean, it would take a lot.
He played 20 minutes. Like, how did he play 20 minutes?
Well, he got in right away because Paul Millsap was in foul trouble right out of the bat. And this team just – people like to dog on Millsap because, you know, he has gotten older, this or that, but, like, he doesn't make mistakes. He guards.
And that was our other thing, especially in the Clippers series. Everybody's like, why are they still playing Millsap? And there's like, who are they supposed to play? I mean, do you think it's the type of thing where if there's no foul trouble, they're just like, all right, we're going to play seven guys?
Maybe. Look, the deeper you get in, the more your back gets to the wall, you kind of need a steadying force. Here's the thing. I feel like the Nuggets can guard the Lakers in the half court well enough.
Yeah.
I feel like the Nuggets can, on the offensive end, get the shots that they want. I mean, tonight they got a lot of shots that were, like, wide open. They just couldn't connect
on
them.
I'm still thinking about those three missed MPJ open threes in the first half.
Yeah. Those are
the exact looks you're thrilled to generate.
Those were great looks.
And he's got to step up and knock those down. I mean, we talk about his defense is a liability. He's got to become that guy. And if he is, this whole game was different. And we've said that a couple times now, actually, about MPJ. He's had great looks. But you know what? Maybe you go to him. Gary Harris, not very reliable right now with his outside shot. Torrey Craig, not very reliable. So maybe you try to look for somebody else there, because I do. That's the one thing I think, is I think Denver can score on them on the other end. But rebounding will be an emphasis. I don't know if Jamal Murray can have this kind of game again. I thought this was one of his best games he's ever had.
I think of a better game.
I mean, he can. Why not? Yeah.
So impressed with
him. He's living in this space
right now.
So
impressed. He's incredible.
He was making the most ridiculous shots. Like every shot he was making, 2-point shots, everyone in here was just standing up and losing their GD minds. Like
the game is so slow for him right now.
Oh my god!
It's like moving at a mic. It's moving like a quarter mile an hour.
Crazy to start thinking of him as this cerebral player. I mean, all the talent in the world, but that Zach Lowe piece today that came out. It's like, it's true. This guy is downloading information, analyzing, and learning how to pick you apart. He's playing with his head.
That's part of why it was weird with Yoke tonight, just watching him look the opposite of that. He looked like he was like he had a short circuit, needed to turn off, turn on again.
I mean,
needed a reboot.
For all the controllables and LeBron and AD, and what did this? I mean, they have a top five player who was like the fifth or sixth most important player tonight. The Nuggets do, and I think if he's himself, it's a win.
Yeah. Going for this next game, I mean, I don't know that you said that if they win the next one, they get momentum. I don't know if that's true when you're down 3-1.
When you're the Nuggets, maybe.
It also depends on the team you're going against.
No, I'm saying I don't think the Nuggets, in either of the series, Denver still found themselves down 15 points in game six after. It wasn't like, once they won game five, the whole momentum changed. No, wasn't until after evening the series that the momentum in both series shifted. So
it's true. It's just a matter of...
The next one's just going into the trenches.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a matter of just like doing it. You do it. I mean, obviously... It doesn't have to be said. The next game, very important. I would call it. I'd go as far as to call it a must-win.
Would you call it a must-win? Wow.
I would call it next game a must-win game. But I think they'll win. I think they'll win next game. And then
does it do anything for you that they've never been further than game six? Does it mean anything to you that they would at least get to game six?
No, I don't care. Like, this Nuggets team already is we're so far past, like, moral victories as far as this team is concerned.
So I want to push back on that. Can I push back on one thing about the moral victory? Because I do feel like there's two ways of talking about sports. This is, like, peak radio, right? There's the, like, they didn't win the championship. Oh, you guys are handing out orange slices. Not me. I'm Joe Blow from Highlands Ranch, and I say that only winners win and losers lose.
Highlands Ranch.
Yeah. So there's that guy. Yeah. And then there's the guy that's just like, you know, oh, good job, good effort, team. You know, no matter what, like, oh, man.
The Miami Heat kid?
Yeah, the
good
Miami
Heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Good effort.
And I feel like there's a healthy medium to it. And let me just say this. This is one of my favorite Nuggets teams ever, if not number one. And it's because they're so goddamn resilient. And, like, why do we like sports? For me, like, I want to say this little speech here. The reason I like the Denver Nuggets so much, specifically the Nuggets, I like the Broncos too, I like the Rockets. The reason I like the Nuggets, I want to believe in hope in the face of overwhelming adversity, overwhelming odds. Like, that's, to me, that's what sports are all about. We're in a shit year. This is the shittiest year of most people's life. And I think there's an overwhelming I think there's an overwhelming feeling sometimes of hopelessness, of just like, man, the world sure seems kind of effed right now, right? Like, and there's all these challenges and all these different things. And I think one of the things sports gives you at their best is this, like, you know what, though? There's no mountain that's too hard that you can't climb. There's the human spirit is so much stronger than people really realize. And I think when you watch this team and you think, okay, everybody counted them out before the playoffs. Then everybody counted them out down 3-1. And then everybody counted them out against the Clippers. Then they counted them out again when they were down 3-1. And there's just something to, like, look, sometimes the team that just forces their way to get the best players in the league win. Actually, most of the time, 99 times out of 100. But to me, that's not inspiring. What's inspiring to me, and it's inspiring in life, is looking at something and saying, geez, this challenge is so enormous. It's so real.
Yeah.
And but you know what? It can happen. And I've been personally just so inspired through this. So
no doubt,
like, I'm not handing out orange slices.
No,
I'm just saying
no,
there's
sure.
something
my, my,
to
my
it.
Point. My point was not that we should stop worrying about you know, only focus on the moral victories, that it's not about inspiration. Like, we've already gotten to that point.
I agree.
Like,
agreed,
if they,
agreed.
If they get another game, like, it doesn't make them more valid in my mind or less valid in my mind. Like, I think that this Nugget squad has already done the most remarkable thing I've ever witnessed in a sport. This run has been the most remarkable thing I've ever witnessed. And they can't take that away from us at this point. So, like, let's just go win.
Yeah, I'm with you, Eric, all the way on that.
Let's just go, like, let's just go win. Like, fuck it. Like,
and I will add, Adam, to your point, and, like, no one cared. Like, as a fan growing up, like, I saw four championships between the Cardinals and the Giants. This is my favorite sports team of all time.
Right, right.
I mean, it's really not even close.
Right.
I've never followed a team like this. And the best part about, you know, doing it at DNVR is that middle ground between covering this team, following this team, but not shorting myself of this experience, being here in the bar with you guys,
right,
with the fans, right, letting it be emotional, because if you can't enjoy what we're seeing here, you know, you're in the wrong industry.
Yeah, like, stop watching sports.
Yeah,
like,
so I mean, look, this is my favorite Nuggets team, of course, my favorite sports team maybe, but I'm with Eric. I think the moral victories are already there, and you're close enough, and you've done 3-1 twice. So, yeah, man, it's title.
Let's
now.
Go.
Eyes on the title.
Yeah. Let's do it. I mean, you know what? To become a legend, you have to do something legendary. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Even on these losers ones, it takes a real one to show up on these losers ones. We'll see you guys again on Saturday. It's Thursday, right?
I know.
Time has no meaning.
Yes.
You're right. Nothing. I think the solstice just happened. So I don't know. Anyway, we'll see everybody.
Your favorite day of the year.
Oh, no, the equinox. It was the equinox.
Keep an eye out for that.
Before we go, guys, want to make sure that you know Strava Craft Coffee now does a subscription service. If you're a big fan of Strava Craft and have already used that DNVR20 code for 20% off your first order, you can get your coffee every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks and 20% off any product you are subscribing to with their new subscription service. Again, subscribe and save 20% with a Strava Craft Coffee subscription. We know a bunch of you have taken advantage of the one-time code, and now you can save 20% off your favorite coffee forever. Super easy, super quick. You'll never have to put in your credit card info again. And again, Strava Craft Coffee is packed with CBD. It can help cure a lot of things like long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS. And like I said, Strava Craft Coffee now has this subscription service where you can get your coffee every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, and you can get it for 20% off with the code DNVR20.